All right, let's get her going on the Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, Jake the Snake Schultz, and U.S. Thanksgiving.
Oh,
happy south of the border to everybody, which can only mean one thing: NFL football. And did. See, we've got a monitor in here with the football game, yeah. And then it went all kind of squirrely on us.
Yeah. So it asked us if we're still awake, and we were very much awake.
We scrambled to unplug it, plug it back in, and, like, what is going on here?
Just in time to see the Bears pee down their leg there. That was ugly.
I have a very special kinship with other loser franchises where I really look upon them fondly, and I really feel for them, and I really root for them. And I have a lot of good buddies that are Bears fans, and they have a lot of pain. Like, they really are in the...
Buddy, they're playing the Lions. You followed the Lions history?
Yeah, for sure.
Start with the Lions.
But the Lions are legitimately the best team in the league and a Super Bowl favorite right now. The Bears have been wallowing in nothing for a very long time.
All that to Lion fans, all these U.S. Thanksgivings.
Just watching their team getting drubbed every annual Thursday.
Yeah, listen, it's good right now for the Lions. They're the Super Bowl favorites.
The Bears don't have Jay Cutler.
I feel for my Bears fans. Anyways.
Okay, well, then if you feel that way about the Bears or the Lions, how are you feeling about your Toronto Maple Leafs last night? Now, listen, it's not often we remember what we say. But I think a few people kind of reminded me that maybe I predicted a score. Derek, did you find that? Is that our first unofficial Kippers Clipper?
Maybe not.
He does have it?
Okay.
Not now.
Okay.
Not now.
Okay.
Not now.
Just
now you're going to be mad at me because if they lose 5-1 tonight, you're going to be mad at me tomorrow?
I'm not mad at you, Kipper. I'm never mad at you. Okay, so that's where it came from. I bet you I got 100 messages.
Are you mad at me today because I said 5-1?
I don't remember the context of that.
Because I was saying that Auston Matthews should just play.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And then
I think I said, I'm not interested in Auston playing at 70% in November. Yeah. I mean, it's not the most important thing. And I said, then they could lose 5-1. And then, you know, will Sammy be mad at me because I didn't push harder for Auston?
I'm not giving you credit for a prediction there.
Listen. You do not let the truth get in the way of a good prediction.
Okay? All right.
That was certainly not a prediction. You actually thought that they were going to play well last night.
I'm not sure they didn't.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm kind of okay with, I didn't like the outcome like a lot of Leaf fans, but it was horrible.
No, I mean, I was on the broadcast last night and I can't. There are very few games I remember being on a broadcast where there's just so little to say aside from they don't have their guys. They didn't have their hockey team. Florida played pretty well, got out to an early lead, and playing catch-up without your guys, really tough spot.
Yeah, you know, when you play the defending Stanley Cup champions...
Who are amped up.
Who are the most horned up they could possibly be after their coach bags gave them everything coming towards this game. They lost 4 in a row. The Leafs had won 4 in a row. And they're going up against... like basically the Marlies for half the night.
Yeah.
It's probably going to end poorly, but I would say that the Leafs to me for the first time, they've played well defensively and they've looked well coached. I thought they looked well coached last night in terms of their effort level and trying to play the system and do what they were trying to do. They just didn't have a chance. They just didn't have enough bodies to do it.
And maybe the first night Stolarz did play, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't good either. Like, he wasn't like, he didn't bail him out or anything. The first power play goal to me was like, I don't know, you can make that safe.
Yeah. So our Luke Fox asked Mitch Marner about the lack, I think, of 5-on-5 scoring. Do we have that as a first Kippers Clipper?
Sure.
What do you think you guys need to do to get more 5-on-5 scoring points?
I mean, we're missing half our team up front, man. You know, it's tough. We got a lot of guys coming in trying to jump up in some roles. They've done a great job. I think we've done a great job keeping pucks out of our net 5-on-5. But tonight, like I said, we got to be up the ice more. We got to be up in the forecheck more. We got to get around the net more. Tips more pucks for our D. Thought they did a good job getting pucks through. We just weren't there enough.
Nice of him to go into all of that, but he should have just kept his mouth shut after he told Luke, we're missing half our team, man, and then just left it there.
Love yeah. Luke.
Give your good head question. A shake, Luke. You're trying to stir it up on me. I'm not, I won't have it.
I don't think he's trying to stir it up. I think it's a good question, good legitimate question. I thought Mitch gave a great answer. Like, yeah. here's what we need
great
to
answer.
Do.
And we got the Marlies here.
Yeah. He's like, we don't have the Marlies. So in, or we do have the Marlies. So in the interim, he said all the things his coach went on to say later, yeah. which is like, actually, do we actually have that? I'm generating more 5-on-5 goals. Clip 3 from Berube, please.
Well, I think it's, you know, a lot of times it's just, it's hard to score. But, you know, for me, it's, you know, I think that we can do a better job of getting to the net front and creating more opportunities around the net and scoring some, you know, greasy goals around the net. I don't think that we're hard enough around the net. I don't think that we're working hard enough to get to the net. Like, you know, I said after the first period, our D had 5 or 6 shots in the first period. We're not making it difficult enough on a goalie and creating second, third opportunities around the net. You know, that's, you know, you got to, that's a lot of times, that's the way you got to score goals, 5-on-5.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be his answer every time they don't score, right? Work harder to get to the net, low to high, screens, tips, et cetera. Pretty much the only thing I expected him to say out of that, and the only thing he can say. So,
Is that much different from the overview clip we've got, Sammy?
Yeah, we could play the clip.
Overview. Okay.
Yep. Well, I think 5-on-5. You know, we talking before. You know, it was going to be a tight, you know, tight game, 5-on-5. Special teams are a difference. I mean, gave up two power play goals to him and a shorty. To me, that's the difference in the game.
Outside of the results of 5-on-5, mm-hmm. it did look fairly balanced, right? It wasn't like the Panthers dominated them 5-on-5.
No. No, I, not that they didn't dominate, and I think that's because of what you mentioned, where, you know, they looked pretty tight defensively. At 5-on-5, SportLogic said that the Leafs had 1.0 expected goals. Florida only had 1.5. You know, like they were slightly better at 5-on-5. Couple of great shooters, right? They're Stanley Cup champions. They got Verhaeghe shoots yeah. one in, Reinhardt shoots one in, Barkov shoots one in.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, that's kind of the story of the game offensively for them.
And for me, a tough challenge, and Tavares has been terrific, but it's, I think last night was a reminder, is that you can't have Tavares go up against Barkov.
Yeah, I guess. You know, so I actually thought Tavares was good last
yeah.
night.
Yeah.
And I looked at some of the results and they weren't good.
Yeah.
And I guess that could be playing Barkov or whatever, but.
Yeah. And the turnover was a little hard luck too. He ran out of space and.
The
shorthanded one there. Yeah. Yeah. The Reinhardt shorthanded one where.
You thought it was bad luck.
Well,
I hated that play.
Was that?
I hated that.
Like, yeah. I hated it too, but.
You know, when
I'm
you're
trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, to be honest with you.
Well, you know, you're in a game where, and listen, it's hard to get really bent out of shape about it, but you're in a game where. You're like we've said multiple times here, you're playing with the Marlies, and you know, you're, these guys are out there battling. Like, the last thing you can have happen is the opportunity yeah. to get on the power play and like actually have a chance, and then have that shorty, they go down on the other end. And I mean, that yeah, is the definition of a dog's breakfast in their right. own zone. Yeah. Reinhardt down the chute and goes bar down. But yeah, I didn't love that. But whatever.
And then outside of that, like, you pass Tavares going up against Barkov, then what do you got left
yeah.
between Holmberg and Dewar and
Nicky Bobby?
Minton. It's like,
Grabankin.
It's over.
Yeah.
And it's just a, it's over. And it's just a reminder of, yeah, it's been a good November, but we're going to have to shore that middle up. And that is even after Austin returns.
Yeah, I mean, after Austin returns, like, if you get Austin and Nyes back, you know, once they get everyone
that's
back.
More, yeah, you're going to have to be, you're a lot more comfortable with that 5-on-5 question as yeah. soon as you get those guys back as early as tomorrow night.
You think Nyes
Saturday night? Yeah, I think he's really close.
Yeah.
I expect Nyes to play
yeah.
Saturday night, as I do Austin, but I expected him last night.
Mm-hmm.
Would have been nice to have him last night. Would have helped, I think.
I heard that he wanted to and they wouldn't let him.
You did?
I did.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
The Leafs wouldn't let him.
Cautious, baby.
Interesting.
Got to be cautious.
So, Yeah, you know, they're...
Why don't we follow this up with Berube? Why don't we get Berube's thoughts, which is the on missing these guys, hurting their goal scoring, which is clip four.
Please. Maybe we don't have the finishers, and I get that side of it too, but I'm not going to focus on that. I'm focusing on what we have in the lineup and how we need to play to generate chances and score goals.
Yeah.
So they lose another guy last night, Bobby McMahon. Goes out, hobbles off. I thought it was a skate issue at first. So did Simmer, who we have coming up. He thought it was a skate issue, but he doesn't come back for the third period. So now that's eight guys?
If you count Reeves, it's eight.
Okay. So I guess we'll count seven. Kipper, I'm not like, you know, I don't like to blow smoke up your rear end, but I'm not sure you've ever been so violently right about people playing in a different system and getting hurt. This is uncanny. What team... Yeah. Like, I mean, they've lost Matthews. Like, they haven't lost Marner, Tavares, and Nylander, and that's why they've been able to keep their head above water here. It's clearly the reason why. But I can't remember any instance of the Toronto Maple Leafs going through this type of injuries with their forwards. I can remember with the defense, they've had some issues, but this is crazy. Now McMahon's out? Like, it's... What is it?
Again, is this the second time he's had issues?
I think first this year, isn't it?
First this year?
But he's always
had... He was healthy scratched.
Okay.
And missed... all of the playoffs last year with a mystery injury, didn't play last year.
Yes.
That's actually kind of an untold last year story. Like, we all talk about the Matthews and Nylander injuries. What happened to McMahon?
Tweaked his knee. Yes.
Well, what's concerning is that appeared to be a lower body injury yesterday. He stopped skating on his right leg on the way to the bench and stopped solely on the left skate. So I don't know which knee it was, but hope it's not a recurring injury.
I have no idea. Like everybody else. Just hearing that he's no longer available was a surprise to me when nothing looked really out of the ordinary.
Ruby said something, actually, I don't know if it's in clip two, where he basically said, like, he couldn't come back and play. Like, he said something that to me felt like if I was a McMahon or something, I would have felt like he was talking to me, like he thinks I should have come back to play or something like that. Why don't we hear clip two on losing another player?
Well, it's frustrating, you know. But, you know, hopefully we get, you know, some guys coming back here next game. But, you know, we just, you know, for the game tonight, we got to be sharper. And, you know, some of the penalties are, we don't need to take them penalties. I think, in the third period, we're trying to come back. We take 6 minutes and penalties in the third. That's difficult. Makes it difficult.
All right, so is he talking to Willie?
The penalties there?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah, we haven't heard anything on that. Sam was concerned last night that Willie was going to get suspended. I thought
the way the league goes sometimes, and Sammy, you're like adding that it's a leaf on the cherry on top of the sundae, that it's a leaf.
Can I be super honest with my Leaf fan brethren? I'm stunned there's no news about that. I thought for sure, like, you know, by the standard that we've seen.
The league passed.
That'd be a game.
I don't see that at all. That
doesn't even sound like a fine.
Really?
Yeah. No, they passed.
Huh.
They passed unless they changed their minds during our show.
But to me, it's like, you know, there's no force or malice going into it. It's a high stick, and he gets penalized with a double minor for it, which is significant at that point of the game. No history, no injury. You know, like the Meyer one, he's going at a guy, and there's some, I don't know.
Okay.
Malice in there.
I don't mind a guy going at it with somebody, but like you're still in the game to the point that Craig made.
Yeah.
Right? You're still within reach here. So that's where you just gotta control it for me.
Yeah.
Well, I think he was going like with Schmidt, right? Kind of going up to kind of engage him. And he kind of lowered the hands, and Willie kind of was going in to do the engagement, and he just caught him right across the – clearly not what he was intending to do at that part of the game. But, yeah, you know, they keep – it's funny with Nylander. They've really just been kind of putting him out there with whoever, and it's really – he's done a great job. I think he's scoring a lot for them. But last night, to me, was the first night where it felt like he's like – you serious?
Can I get some help?
We're playing against the Panthers, and I'm going out here with Holmberg and Robertson.
You got to be understanding.
For
like,
sure
we don't
you do.
Have anyone like,
no,
to
I
put
know.
You with.
I'm not saying, like, that's right. But I just, for the first time, I saw a couple shifts from him last night. I think he had his first shot late in the third period, where he, or middle of the third period, and he's just kind of like, I got no chance out here against these guys with Pontus Holmberg and Nick Robertson.
Yeah. My one takeaway from last night, and actually I've got a few of them, which, you know, we're going to get to here, but the main ones are about the young guys and who looks good. And I got to tell you, I'm believing in Fraser Minton more than I did going into this trial.
Yeah, I know we've had this conversation. It's not probable, but it's not impossible for him to be one of the guys moving forward. I started believing in it, I think, when I heard that he was really good in camp again before he got hurt.
Yeah.
That he was just going to kind of pick up where he left off, I think, starting of last season.
Yeah.
It was a hard decision, I think, for them a little bit too, but it served them well. For me, the two guys that have a chance to be there towards the latter part of the regular season and maybe even the first round, or at least be available to them in the roster, is Minton and Grubenkin.
Yeah. The Grubenkin one's interesting because I think he's a guy who, more than the other guys, needs time in the American League to have the puck, be the man, be on the power play, some goals.
I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. I got to win the cup right now. And, and I know.
No, this is part of getting better.
Oh, so you want to send him back for a month or so and get him back here in February or March?
I think it's the best thing for him rather than, say, play in the fourth line, finish your checks.
If you got the luxury to do it. But
he's also a waiver exempt.
Right, because I think you look at these other teams and you say, you know, look at Montreal's got Slafkovský dying on a vine. I know he scored last night. And Hudson's playing 23 minutes a night and all the other D. It's not good for these guys to be in. You need to be the man in a league you're better than.
I think it's good for him, for Minton and Grubenkin, to get that taste last night, like one or two games.
But
if you keep feeling like you're going to lose, you're not losing your minutes. Like, it's good to get a taste, but to keep stretching them out there, like you said, with the Habs, I don't think it's quite as good.
I just see him there above Steve's. I see him there above.
Ooh, Grubenkin?
Yes.
Yeah.
I see him there above Alex Nylander.
Yeah.
I see him for sure above Nick Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did not like Nick Robertson's game last
night.
Playoffs
start
at
today.
All.
You got Grubenkin in ahead of Robertson.
In a line of bad ones.
Oh, 100%.
In a line of bad games
last night.
I would like
to make
it
clear that I agree.
The problem with Nick now is he's
panicking.
So cookie hungry right now that it's just he's separating himself from the rest of the team.
But I've heard this has been the case even like when he played in the American League, that it was just like he didn't care if they won or lost. He wanted to score. He didn't care if he had three assists. Well, he wanted to shoot it in the net. He wants to shoot it in the net.
The one that kind of stood out for me last night was the 2-on-1 where you got one of the best opened, like Willie's opening up and he didn't even look at him.
And you know what?
Okay.
I was okay with that. If he had his stick in the middle of the ice between the hash marks, if you're going to shoot it, then shoot it.
But and then he goes to a weak-ass backhand.
Yeah. Like if you're going to use Willie, great. If you're going to shoot it, great. If you're so panicked by opportunity that it ends up being whatever that was.
But there's not many plays where you can be like, that guy has no confidence. Like, it's just, you guys watch hockey your whole life. That guy cannot think straight right now. And he's thinking about it. Normally, if he had six goals in the year, he's either making a good pass or he's wristing that one off the post and in. Like, he's overthinking every play.
To him, and I told you before the show, it's like some nerdy guy talking to a hot girl for the first time. He's just like, oh my God, it's a hockey puck.
Bobble.
Yeah, he can't handle it, man.
The body language on Willie.
Oh, yeah. After that?
After that,
he
behind the net, skated by him. It's not like...
Wasn't like good effort, son.
Wasn't even a tap and no, nice just, effort, nice try. Hey, listen, if you think you got it, it's like, buddy. Okay.
Give me
I'm making 11 and a half sheets.
I'm fresh off 40 here,
not
kid.
To watch you go in there and kill a play.
Yeah.
Give me the puck.
Give me the puck.
Yeah. That was tough.
So the guys are going to start getting healthy. And, you know, again,
In theory.
In theory, we've been through this a little bit, you know, JB, where I feel for him a little bit too, because he is an NHL player in a 32-team league.
Yeah.
Now he's going to watch guys get healthy. We'll see what happens with McMahon, but we're going to watch guys come back, and we're watching Grebenkin and Minton impress, and he's going to get pushed down, and he knows it. Mm-hmm. He knows it's coming, and that's why you probably saw him shooting everything that he could last night, no matter what. I think once they start getting healthy here, they gotta seriously think about moving him out. Mm-hmm. They cannot let a guy like that come to the rink feeling the way he's feeling and thinking that it won't affect the rest of the
hockey club. And, like, what are his priorities, as you said? You know, like, he's not like, God, we lost last night.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I still
did he know what the score of the game was last night?
Yeah.
Like, it just feels like he's playing by himself out there.
Yeah. That's not healthy.
No.
You know, a few guys I liked last night. I really liked Lorenz. Like, I think they got their cup rings before the game. You guys saw the rings?
Yeah.
Nicer than the Rangers ring? Bigger, different.
Bigger, gaudier.
Yeah. But they're
less wearable.
That's fine. It's, but hey, listen, that really ring's good. A ring. Come on, everybody wants one.
But, like, when these moments get big, I forget what game earlier in the year Lorenz scored a late goal for them. He, you know, he's, as we said, won the cup. I thought last night, like, amidst all the frenzy, he's a guy who seems really composed to me.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's going to be a rock for them in playoffs.
I liked what you pointed out there. During the intermission, where he's like directing traffic, he's trying to try to slow stuff down.
Yeah, it's like we're on or off wing, just stay over there.
He's a leadery type guy.
Yeah.
He's been in big games. So we mentioned Stolarz close to the start here. First non spectacular one for him last night. Sucks that it has to come against his former team.
Nothing to be worried about or concerned about. Like, he's showing little bit more. He's a little bit more human last night, but I thought he's still going into the third, gave them a chance.
Yeah, he made enough saves for sure.
The last one was jarring, the Verhaeghe one that went up top.
Yeah,
on.
I didn't like
that. I think that got redirected, I think. I'm not sure.
It's just surprising to see him.
It got up real quick.
I just can't think of, I mean, Verhaeghe can absolutely fire it. It just feels like he doesn't get, if he's staring down a guy like that, it felt like he hasn't been beat clean like that all year. It happened, too, with, I mean, Reinhardt down the chute. You got no chance. He goes bar down or whatever. It just feels like first time I've seen him just get beat clean a few times. It doesn't shake your confidence, but you'd be lying in the back of your head. You're like, oh, this journeyman, like, it's all, you know, it's coming unglued. Like, those thoughts are in the back of your head, but I got confidence in him.
Yeah. And it sets up going right back to Joseph Woll Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully just a much... you know, you get a couple of guys back and it changes things. Do we have any idea on Domi what that he can't
he's
come back
on the trip.
December?
He's not on the trip.
Yeah, he's not.
I don't think he's LTIR. I think he's just IR.
Just IR?
Yeah, so is that 10 days? No, that 10 days is LTIR, isn't it?
No. Man. No, it's like
anyways.
A month, I think.
Yeah.
10 games.
Yeah, 10 games, right.
Yeah, no, I have not looked at it. Maybe you can run it for me. I'm not getting it up, but like after Saturday, it gets real busy again, right?
15 games in 31 days.
Yes.
Monday, Chicago. Wednesday, Nashville.
Yeah.
Friday, Caps. Saturday, Penguins, I think is the schedule next week.
I got to think.
Get a few of those.
8-7, 9-6 for one goalie would be, I'd be surprised if one of those two guys gets 9 out of 15.
I'm not understanding. What do you mean? What
next 15 games.
Oh,
we said next 15 games in 31 days.
Yeah.
I see a split of 8-7, or I'd be surprised if it's 9-6.
Well, you're heavily injured, and you know you're playing a ton of games back to back. Where, you're asking a lot of a thin lineup. You're right. It's unlikely that they're going to cruise through this dominating.
As long as nobody shows signs of a couple of consecutive stinkers, right?
You mean goalie-wise or just player-wise?
Goalie-wise, right? Yeah, or player-wise. I mean, they're all intertwined.
So you're mentioning goalies here, and I saw from your piece in the Toronto Star today, good piece on the Leafs needing to win the Atlantic, but about the interest in the Leafs' goalie depth.
Yeah.
So do you think that's something that they're going to use to acquire forward help at the deadline.
I think that's as long as those guys continue to show upside, Hildeby and they got a rush in there. I don't.
You got it.
Akhtyamov.
Yeah.
There you go.
Akhtyamov.
Yeah.
Good job.
There's a they're raising eyebrows around the league.
Really?
Yep. So, I mean,
just looking for chips to use, eh? It's like there's one. Found one.
Matt Murray is one.
That's interesting.
Matt Murray is also out there for a team like Carolina right now. Okay, yeah. Carolina's they're looking right now. Now, do you think that Matt Murray is the be all end all? But
914 in the A.
Cheap. Better than the 914 too. Cheap.
Cheap and above average, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you got still Stanley Cup pedigree and you're not 35.
Matt Murray is just 30 years old.
And you're healthy for maybe the first time you're starting to convince people that, hey, I'm fixed here. All my issues, including the ones that I had in Ottawa and Toronto, are no longer there, then he's in play.
I don't know if you have any sense of this, but like, where is his, you know, head at in terms of being like a Marley? Like, do you think he's like, I got to get out of here? Do you think he's satisfied with it? It's just a guy that's got a ton of pedigree, you know, ton of pride.
Oh, he wants to be back in the NHL.
For sure.
But he knows that he was this close to like
being gone.
Gone.
Yeah.
For good or retired. And you know, he had hip surgery.
Mm-hmm.
The two.
Yeah.
Fixed them both, I heard.
Yeah.
So he knows he needs to start somewhere. And you're still, it's Joseph Woll. Mm-hmm. That guy could disappear at any moment.
Yes.
And he's right back in the mix.
Yeah, so you think he'd be the first call now if one of those guys happened? Who was it that came on our show and said that Hildeby's the three? It was Josh Cloke on Monday, yeah.
I mean, where are they on the let's get him some experience? I don't think Hildeby would be a guy that they want to thrust in there. If they came up with a perfect trade to get people out, I think they wouldn't be thrilled about putting him in there to start his NHL career yet.
Mm.
Like some more cooking in the American League. But I don't know. What's it going to look like in the new year in terms of what you really need to shore up your team and at what cost? Because there's only a few people that when Brad Treliving picks up the phone or makes calls, he gets talked about or asked about. And that's like, there's only like two or three guys. Grubenkin would be one of them now.
Cowan.
Minton.
Hildeby.
And the goalies.
Yeah.
And then don't give me your scraps.
Roni Hervonen.
The Topies and the Ronies?
Yeah. No, what are they? 5'9"? 5'10"?
Probably.
Yeah. Soaking wet.
Come on.
I say those names not out of disrespect, but I just, they were like in the embodiment of the
Dubas drafting. Something.
Where they represent something. It's not about them as people.
So I do believe that when it comes to February, March, and if this one thing that I kind of got reminded of last night is that you're still going to have to get bigger and tougher.
Well, they're missing. Like,
they're playing a tough style, but I'm watching Nico Mikkola.
Hammered Tavares.
6'6".
Hammered Tavares.
Hammered, like... He had Nick Robertson's trying to close off the boards with him coming down on a pinch on the on the second goal.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's like.
Was that who Robertson ran to try to hit in the corner?
That's like really, really.
Just contain him.
Yeah.
That's really warm butter trying to stop a knife.
Yeah. And here comes butter. Oh, no.
Oh, the knife. So, yeah. No, that's funny. You watch the Panthers. I meant to say this. And, you know, I'm watching that game. Like, I thought these guys sucked.
Yeah.
Everyone told me these guys were playing bad. I thought they sucked. And it's like, oh, no. Yeah, they're still all looking pretty good.
But you look through that lineup. It's not the same lineup.
No,
like the main guys are still the main guys. But, you know, last night it's...
Lusterainen.
And Lundell didn't even play last night.
He's like
excellent.
Another guy just really hard around the net to stop.
I'm really looking forward to rooting for Sam Reinhart in the Four Nations face-off. I love Sam Reinhart, man.
He's turned into such
I never saw this coming.
Oh, you think the Sabres did?
I guess not.
The Sabres?
I guess not.
The Sabres could watch Eichel get 130 points. Eichel
second. Oh, my God.
Was Reinhart second overall?
Yep. Yeah, he was.
Okay, excuse me.
Was a pick? Is that
who was first? Was it Patrick in Philadelphia?
No, was that was the same year. That was the Nico Hischier draft. I'm quick.
It was up. Okay.
He all was right. Number two in the 2014 draft. Ekblad went one. Okay. Reinhart two. So three of the top five play for Florida.
Who was the other?
Ekblad, Reinhart, and Sam Bennett are all in the top.
And yeah,
yeah.
So, like
William Nylander went eighth that year. One pick seven. After,
and he's so
picks
smart.
After Jake Virtanen.
Right, he's just. Yeah. Just a smart player, can shoot the, like, the 50, 60 goal score.
I thought when he was younger, he wasn't going to skate well enough to do this.
I'm with you.
To do
he
this.
He fooled me.
Yeah.
I thought Buffalo got a third liner.
Yeah.
On a championship team.
Right.
But, you know, look, where you're playing matters. And, like,
for
since
sure.
He's gone to Florida, it's 33, 31, 57. Before that, he'd never scored 30. So it's like, yeah, playing with other good players in a good situation, that is pretty important.
Yes, sir.
I did write an article in the Toronto Star. You can find it on my @RealKipper X feed or Twitter, old Twitter. Where are you guys on the importance of the Leafs winning a division?
I don't want to play that team in the first round.
You with me a little bit?
It's so important.
God, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So important. I mean, God. The two teams you might play are teams that have won Stanley Cups in the past 5 years that have the pedigree and the confidence to play in those big games. Not that the Leafs don't, but it sure would be nice to, and again, it's not a gift when you get a wild card team, but just be 1% easier. Can it be 1% easier? That would help.
Yeah, the Leafs
when you lose by a goal in round one, you take 1%.
Leafs will win the division. They'll get the Rangers first round.
Rangers are brutal.
Yeah, but got Shesterkin.
Oh, there's some issues there.
I got Shesterkin. I know how that goes. And then every Leaf fan will be like, oh, well, they have the goalie. We could beat him. I know how it goes.
I know Florida looked a lot like a team that won the Stanley Cup last year on a few plays, mm-hmm. but they aren't the same team they were last year. No. They weren't.
No, they're missing some pieces. The D's not as good. Not sure they're top to bottom as good.
They got Carolina twice, Pittsburgh, Philly, San Jose. They could lose two of them. You know,
That's
just the way it is now in the NHL, but it's there for the Leaf taking.
This week is important for the Leafs. Like if that Saturday night game's huge, because Tampa's not that far behind. And then you have, like I said, Chicago Monday, Nashville Wednesday. Washington's a good team on Friday, but then you go to Pittsburgh. It's like you need to start stacking up the points against these softer teams. Anyways, we should go for Simmer.
Okay, we got Craig Simpson, former National Hockey Leaguer, two-time Stanley Cup champion, and one of the best on Hockey Night in Canada. He'll join us next when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kiprios. Not quite Sammy McKee.
Sorry.
Do you want to share with the whole class?
No, good things mics aren't on, boys.
Justin Bourne. And in a few minutes, we'll welcome in Craig Simpson.
Yes.
Who called the game last night.
He doesn't miss a trick.
And you, of course, you know, you couldn't get out of here fast enough. And you were screaming, finally, they've gone to the A-team for a game Wednesday night. You, Elliot. David Amber.
It's a good show. I enjoyed
Gaz.
It. You know, we really were limited by the fact that all of a sudden it's 2-0. Leafs got no horses. And it's just like, okay. You know, they did their best. They played hard, but never got back in it.
Okay, let's welcome in Craig Simpson on this American Thanksgiving, which means Craig, you're having a turkey or you're passing on a turkey because all those years of playing in the U.S., we got spoiled, right? We had two Thanksgivings.
I think I have literally been on the road in the U.S. for the last 20 Thanksgivings. So it's always trying to find a place that you can get something to eat, a restaurant that's open. And I think I'll pass on the turkey tonight. But, no, always good to have a good football day and sit and watch some of those festivities.
So we were talking earlier in the show about a 5-1 score that may have looked maybe a little bit more lopsided than what it actually was. And we've seen the Leafs really rise in the absence of some key players, including now Matthew Nyes, let alone a top goal scorer like Austin Matthews. Was last night just one of those games that kind of caught up to them a little bit?
Well, I think you looked at that game. I heard you guys. As I was walking around here in Tampa, I was listening and talking about not playing Matthews. And I'm not trying to be controversial at all with this, but I do think that if I was the team, I'd look at that game and say you've got the defending champs who have lost 6 of their last 7, 4 in a row. Paul Maurice had taken a lot of the blame for his coaching in the last 3 weeks. Bag skated the team. They're on home ice. I go, that is a game. If you're looking at your schedule as you've dealt with your injuries, you look at your lineup card and you say, we've won 7 out of 8 with Austin gone. Let's go for another one, because this is one of those games that, you know, could be a bit of a disaster. How would you be feeling or talking right now if Austin Matthews had played last night and it was a 5-1 game and he didn't get anything? I know that's maybe being overprotective, but I do think that came into the equation. I think you had a good thing going. Maybe the guys could come up with another big effort. It didn't quite happen, but now you kind of get the reset of your own and get into a game on Saturday with another practice on Friday and able to try to right the ship and get a little bit of consistency and continuity into your lineup.
So is there anything from that game, Simmer, that we can learn about the Leafs? Like, do you reach a point where a team is just so injured that it's almost like, you throw what you have at the wall and hope something sticks, and if it doesn't, you just kind of go, well, we didn't have our team?
Well, as you guys all know, like, injury is opportunity, right? There's been many a career that's been made because somebody went down and somebody came up and you went, oh, my gosh, this guy's ready to play. Like, he's going to get his chance, and he's going to get – he opens the door and he doesn't really allow you to send you back. So I think there's been elements of that in the last couple of games. And some, you know, I heard you talking about Fraser Minton and your view of him even changes a little bit. And I thought last night was a great example of, there were stretches of that game that he looked like, oh, calm, poised. He looks like he's ready. And there's other stretches, as you would expect, playing really your third game in the NHL, where you go, oh, yeah, you're playing against Barkov or you're playing against really good pros that you're not quite there yet. So I just think that sometimes the necessity of giving guys opportunity and playing them in situations that maybe you'd be hesitant to normally do so as a coach actually helps your team and helps you as a coach. I often think that coaches sometimes are so darn resilient or hesitant to give a guy a chance just because you're worried about the big mistake. Well, if you're Craig Berube last night, Justin, you're looking down and you go, well, what other option do I have? So I got to give this guy that time or that matchup. And I think that's where guys learn and guys get better. Ultimately, I think it helps the team in the long run, because whether guys go back down to the Marlies and start to hone their craft with the experience of going, man, I just played the Stanley Cup champs and I played 5 shifts against Barkov and I think I did pretty well. Or I won a battle in a corner against Ekblad. You know, you start to grow as a player. You all know when you're trying to establish yourself, that's what you have to try to prove to yourself and then the coaching staff, that I can play at that elite level on a more consistent basis. And I think that's the challenge when you have a team like Toronto does right now. But I honestly think in the long run, it's going to help them a lot.
We're talking to Craig Simpson, former National Hockey Leaguer, 2-time Stanley Cup champion, and one of the best voices you'll ever hear on a hockey broadcast. Simmer, in terms of the frustration of not only Nick Robertson, but the rest of the team at 5-on-5, but specifically Nick Robertson's bread and butter has to be putting the puck in the net. You were, of course, a big goal scorer in the National Hockey League. I kind of felt it a little bit in junior hockey, and the pressure that you put upon yourself to find a way to get it over the goal line here. And to me, I watched him last night, and specifically I made it a point to talk about the 2-on-1 where he just went in there and he had those blinders on and he didn't even look off a Willie Nylander. But there's a sense of me that feels for the guy a little bit too here.
100%. It's almost cringeworthy at time. And I mean that with admiration and respect to the person. Because you hate to see it. And we've all at some point lived it. I've often said, there's times where you get out on the ice, you go, I hope that puck doesn't come near me because I don't want it. Like, I got nothing. I got no confidence in myself. That 2-on-1, I was saying, you end up going to your backhand with no option and get nothing out of it. Well, like you guys were saying earlier, if you're a confident player, you're snapping around. I mentioned, look at Mitch Marner's play in front of the net. There was times a couple years ago when he hadn't scored in 8 or 9 games that he didn't look all that calm in those areas. Last night, it was like in his sleep. You just react. You react to what the goalie does, and it's in the back of the net. Nick, to me, is I'd almost be, as an assistant coach, you got to spend some time and really show some video, show some positive video, show some things that he's doing well to try to eliminate the thought process of going into a game. And I heard you, Justin, saying going into a game and thinking all I got to do is score. Like, because it's like anything that you want badly, if you're only thinking of the end result and not the way that you have to react and react to get there, you're never going to get there. And that's where he's at now. And it is a little hard to watch. And I'm confident the coaches are doing everything they can to help him along the way and video wise and talking wise, but it's one of those stretches where, man, you just feel for the kid. And that's why I think the process is saying, let's just play the game. Let the game come to you. Play with some energy. Play with some emotion. Play with your partners, not try to do it all yourself. And I think that'll serve them well. And you hope at some time you get a rebound or you get one off your leg and all of a sudden you feel a little bit better about yourself.
Simmers, thinking of guys who are young, trying to make an impression, what are the odds that Gerbenkin is a guy who matters for the Leafs this season?
I think he's got a chance, Justin. I said last night watching a couple of shifts, and I go, to me, the guy doesn't communicate all that well. He's learning a new language. He's learning a new game. But he's also a young kid that's played in the KHL for a couple of years. So he's played against men. And that is a big distinction of, playing even junior hockey. You're playing in the KHL. You've had to go up against 29-year-old guys or, guys who are tough and guys who will intimidate you. And I just said a couple of those shifts where he did things the opposite of what I was saying about Robertson. He's not going out there, I got to score a goal. He went out there and said, I better hit 2 or 3 guys on this shift. I better make sure I get this puck deep and get in and try to turn the puck over. I got to make a play in my own zone and then get up the ice and get in the forecheck. Those are simple sounding things, but they're so incredibly important to build that framework of your game and the trust with your coach. And, I just mentioned it there saying, if I'm Craig Berube, I go, I got some time for this kid now, because in a situation where he's playing, what was that, his third game in the National Hockey League, and go, he's identified that. And you can tell that he's going, I know what this coach wants me to do and how I got to play. And I got a lot of time for that. And I think Craig Berube will as well.
And he's heavy, Simmer. Yep. He's a heavy player. We see him finishing checks even at the end of a period that really had no bearing on any play because he's got a habit of doing that.
He's having fun out there.
Never would have thought I'd say this, but they've missed Max Pacioretty's physical presence of whatever we saw in those first dozen games out of Max Pacioretty. And there's something there that at least is more reassuring to know that at least he can do that every night instead of hoping and praying that someone puts a puck in the net.
So also what you were saying too is, you look at the changes that Craig's tried to make with this team. And I think the one thing that has been successful, and part of it due to some good defensive pairings, good structure in their own zone, they've gone from, the 22nd team for goals against last year to tied for second going into last night. So there's an improvement, and there's a noticeable effort in the way that they can defend. they box out in front of their net a lot better than I can remember watching a Leaf team do. There's not a lot of trapping your own zone fire sales. But I do think the pain of that has been their offense isn't nearly as fluid. And Craig keeps talking about it, and I listened to your clip, and I love Justin going, every time they don't score, you might as well just replay that clip, right? We didn't get to the it's the same story. But you know by now, what, 2 months in, you know exactly what you're going to hear from Craig Berube, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be the same thing every day. When something falters, it's the same messaging. So I do think that the offensive part of it has slipped a little bit because guys are trying to be aggressive and trying to do what you're saying Grubankin did, get in on the forecheck, make a big hit, you know, make sure that you're checking hard there. But they don't quite yet have the combination of that and then get it and be as free-flowing and creative as they have been in the past.
Last thought from you, Simmer, if we could. Appreciate your time. Just what do you think the Panthers are compared to last year?
I think they're a team that's, you know, missing the element on the back end. As much as Montour was, what, 23 and a half minutes of big minutes, It's hard to replace that on a Stanley Cup championship team. Even talking to some of the people around the team, Ekman Larson became a big effort last year too. Well, he played just under 19 a game, but again, you've seen what he's done even in this Leafs lineup of stopping a play defensively, getting you going the other way. So those are two guys that I think, as you guys know, it's hard to replace them. It'll take a little bit of time. Kulikov's a player who's playing almost 4 minutes more than he did last year. So can guys like that grow into the same roles as those guys had in a successful time? I think the energy thing to me, Chris Cuthbert and I were talking last night and just said that's the hard part to recreate when you've been Stanley Cup champs and now you're into the third year. You know, they lost in the final. They were motivated last year. They had a really good regular season and run. Now you're trying to climb the mountain again. Even a guy like Ryan Lomberg, who's not a huge player, but it's the emotional part. I think they've missed the emotion of their game, and Paul Maurice said that much. But I still think they're a good team. I still think they've got the ability to be really competitive. And I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know what their cap situation is here, but I think they're a team that still thinks they can win. And so it's for Paul Maurice to do what he did the last couple of days and push some buttons and say, let's just find a way to stay even keeled and get ourselves through this season. And I think we've got the experience. And at the end of the day, I mentioned, like, Bobrovsky had his best year as a Florida Panther in the regular season last year and in the playoffs. It hasn't quite materialized yet. If he can get himself back to that, then maybe they got another chance to go at it.
Simmer, have a great call in Tampa. Looking forward to it. Thanks for doing this, pal.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Simmer. Enjoy Thanksgiving there.
Craig Simpson.
You bet.
I mean, I watching Boqvist last night, Jesper, go on that breakaway. Like, pretty fast guy.
Penalty shot.
You would have called the penalty shot?
Oh, absolutely.
No, it was the infraction was too far away from the net.
Yeah.
I thought it was a penalty shot. When he got him, I thought they were going to point
to center. He get a clean chance.
He got a clean shot, and it was a big save.
Yeah, so maybe that's a...
Right?
You get the chance, and it is a penalty. I think the league needs to call more penalty shots. Like, if a guy is in the clear and there's an infraction, refs are really timid about calling a penalty shot.
Yeah.
I think I remember in the 70s and 80s, man, you had to, like, shoot somebody.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I think that's the way it should be. I think...
You don't want to see more penalty shots?
I hate today's thing. Yeah, I don't. No. We get to shoot out. It's fine. Like, I think you have to be two steps away and a guy's going to come in and trip you. Like, one step.
No, but if you're one step on the guy and you have a clean, like, you don't have body, you've lost body position. If you have to take a penalty, to me, that's your taking away.
How
that
about
chance.
This? Okay, this is a radical thought.
Okay.
Can we save this?
Send the defender.
No. I got an answer.
Some guy chasing you on the breakaway?
You're going to have to wait national now. We're hearing the music now. I got to open it up.
Tell me quickly.
No, I don't have time.
Okay.
You know how slow I am. Don't answer that.
Yeah.
Don't you dare answer that.
Leave it alone.
Our thanks to Craig Simpson and our Leaf Edition Hour. We go national next. Jason Brough, co-host of Halford and Brough. in Vancouver will join us. We'll get some thoughts on what the heck's going on with Vancouver as they lose a main cog on that blue line. We'll discuss that more when we return nationally. Don't go away. Real Kipper and Bourne.